It's time for WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. Here's your host, Joe Costello.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio. And it is International Podcast Day. Yeah, I know there's all these days now, right? Like the International Fathers and Daughters Day and Fathers and Sons and all of these different things that have been going on. International Coffee Day. Well, it's International Podcast Day. And you need to know that because WFO Radio is a podcast that has been going on for over 10 years. And we have kind of morphed into this Facebook, YouTube, Twitter live stream deal. But really, our core foundation is talk radio and podcast. So subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all of those things. And you'll never miss a show, including our Ignition show. I remember when we first started out as a podcast, it was nerve-wracking coming off XM satellite radio and being on the radio in Miami. Like, people thought podcast was a kid in his garage with, like, tinfoil and talking into his phone. And now they're everywhere. Everyone's got podcasts. It's a huge, huge medium. And I am thrilled that we have been going for 10 years. So if you want to hear the audio of all these shows and great drivers, like after the fact, like Ron Capps, who is going to be on this show, Capps picking up his 66th career win and really shaking up the points. We're going to hear from Capps. He's in the ready room right now, by the way. And Matt Smith scheduled to join on this edition, and we're going to talk about the remainder of the season. It is going to be great, but before we do that, I want to tell you about the people who make it possible for us to do this show. People like Total Seal Piston Rings. Yeah, our podcast has sponsors. TotalSeal.com. Go to their website, brand new website, whether you're looking to fit rings for a stock eliminator car, a bracket car, all the way up to Formula One teams. They use Total Seal Piston Rings. It's been amazing to do a podcast for those guys. Hidden Horsepower, you can subscribe there as well. TotalSeal.com. Also, Samtech.edu, the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Where do you think the next generation of mechanics and crew chiefs, where are they coming from? Where are they getting their core foundational education? Samtech.edu. Check them out. Also, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, the dragster adventure, frankhawley.com, where you, like a regular person, can go out and drive a dragster, where you can get your super gas license in a car like this. And performing for Frank. And he signs off on your license and starts off your career in a great way. Check him out, frankhawley.com. And I mentioned International Coffee Day. Marvin Rodak, rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. And I'll just say it over and over again. Eventually, you're going to break. Eventually, you're going to crack when you want some of the best coffee in the world and you're wondering where to get it and you want it shipped to your door, maybe with a little hot sauce and barbecue spice rub. rodakscoffeeandgrills.com, 817-924-6821. Also want to let you know about WFO Radio face coverings. Just $10 and you get some WFO stickers. That includes shipping. It is a great deal. You know, they might not be quite as cool as the Ron Capps face coverings, but they do cover your face, and they promote WFO. And speaking of Ron Capps, let's bring him on the show after his 66th career victory. At least that's the number I read. I know he's got like 65 in Funny Car, one at Top Fuel. It always throws me off. Capps, congratulations.
How are you, Joe?
I'm great. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
That's good. All right.
It's good to be home.
Yeah.
a quick turnaround, and when you come off a weekend like we did, it's always nice to have an off weekend, but right now in this COVID era, we're just glad to be racing. And it was a breath of fresh air being in Gainesville, as you know, with the fans, and just, it was nice. It was nice for everybody. It was really a feel good weekend.
I agree with that. It was medicine for the soul of the drag racer. You guys had gotten used to being in Indianapolis, and you got an Indianapolis win, of course. So we had four of those races, but that means COVID chaos, right? Running the same race every week, basically. Getting to Gainesville, I had no idea how much it would mean to see all those fans in the stands and to race somewhere else and just reconnect with another part of the country. It was very special. And then for you to get a win, like, what is that, your fourth Gainesville win? So clearly that's a track where you've had great success.
Yeah, I had forgot, to be honest with you, that I've won there before. I mean, I knew I won there. I just didn't think it was three until Allie, our PR girl and publicist, had reminded me. So you just forget about it. I mean, it's such a historic race, and so every year we go there, it's, I feel like I'm the first time going to Gainesville, you know. And it was a strange weekend. Of course, we get two qualifying runs from here on out. And it's when there's less than 17 cars, it's okay. When there's more, like there were at the few IndyCar race or the Indy races, it gets to be a little hectic because anybody can have an issue. I don't care who you are and what your sponsor is or how big a budget you got. So it's a matter of getting qualified. And we rolled off the trailer with a great run right off the bat. That was nice. And that set us up pretty good for the weekend to go from there. But just getting in there Saturday morning, driving to the track, it was like, wow, I mean, it's a little different than what we've been going through at Indy. And it was nice. And a lot of fans at the state of Florida just opened up. I don't have to tell you, you live there.
Yes.
But it was strange to have friends and people show up and say they were at the restaurant or bar. And there was I went and got Outback for almost every night for curbside. And there were 50 people out front, like it was normal, you know, 6 months ago, waiting to get into these restaurants. And so that just told you what it was going to be like for the weekend. And it was great crowds.
It was. And it shows there's demand. Like there's all kinds of great positives that come out of it. Like, will the people want to come to drag races after this is all, we normalize as best as we can? And the answer was yes. And they were having fun. And that means we can ramp up. Of course, we got another race this weekend. We will talk about it. I just want to list, though, it's 06, 07, 15, and now 20. You have won at Gainesville. So from 06 to 2020 is the gap. How about Garlitz? 1970 to 2020, technically he had a win this weekend. That was pretty exciting.
Yeah, that was cool. To see him in his fire suit was cool. To see him with his hair grown out like it was COVID was cool.
Yeah.
The facial hair, I mean, everything about Garlitz, every time I see him, you know, we've heard him talk about aliens and stuff in the past and what he believes about the extraterrestrial world and all that. And he's an interesting guy, but he's still the guy. And it's always fun to just sit with him and hear his thoughts. My boss, Don Schumacher, remember, he had never gone 300 miles per hour. Remember, Don gave him a ride in one of our, way before I got there, but I remember him helping Don Garlitz try to go 300 miles per hour. And that was kind of cool. But that car that the Torrance family put out there, the coolest thing was that tachometer that I'm sure you, like me growing up, built.
Yes.
That model. And
yes.
I had that model, and to have that tachometer on the outside sitting there, and to see them running that car when who knows what's going on aerodynamically, to have that so authentic and have all sponsors, I don't care who it was, to have another oil or whatever, they made that car as authentic as possible. So hats off to whoever stepped aside on Torrance's car to make that car look like it did, because it threw back memories every time you saw it in the staging lanes.
Well, you know, you're big with the nostalgia scene out there. Here in the East Coast, we're just far from it. We had fewer, right? It was just fewer people that were involved, fewer racetracks. We weren't the California car culture. We had what we had here on the East Coast, especially in South Florida or Florida in general. But to see that nostalgic feeling and have it go to the winner's circle. And, you know, you mentioned Garlitz, two things since that comes up, right? Like, I took this photo of him in the staging lanes where he had his fire suit and his helmet, and I just, he was very cool, like you said. But what do you think inspired him to throw on the fire suit, Ron, and bring the helmet? Like, was he going to do something to Steve, lock him in the Portageon? What was going on there?
I'm happy for Steve that they won that round, because that could have gone a lot of different ways to where if Steve didn't win that round, I mean, who knows? I don't know who he was racing, but I would be, because I get weird with something different thrown at me during race day. You know, something all of a sudden, oh, like a race car in the final round.
Yes.
But little things sometimes will take a driver and kind of spin them out a little bit, because you get in this zone, you get used to some things being the same way. And especially when they're going good, you don't want to change anything up. So I'm sure there was a little bit of talk by whoever on the team going, oh, boy, I hope this works out all right.
Exactly. Exactly. And since you brought it up, one of the things that I am really interested. OK, first of all, you know, Shark Week is a big deal, right? But all those Discovery Channel channels, like aliens, that's a big thing, man. Alien civilizations, UFOs. When I heard that Garlitz was in, I don't know how many people know this, like regular listeners, viewers, you brought it up and I'm great, I'm happy about it, but Garlitz is like into this is a thing that he's into. And it was one of my dreams, like one of the things I want to do is to corral Garlitz on this subject. Like, I would like to know what he knows, and I know it's like but I believe him.
You have to get him on, and you have to ask him that question. I've heard it, and it's unbelievable, and it makes you think. I mean, he's not a dumb guy.
I believe him. He's not a dumb guy. And he's got all kinds of connections back in the day, stuff that was going
down. I mean, it's crazy what he so, yeah, you need to have him on. That will be a record-breaking show if you get him on talking that.
You got to help me then. You got to be on there to help navigate.
All right.
All right.
We'll double team.
There it is. There it is. Okay, let's talk about your weekend. I said before the weekend happened that if you didn't go out and win the race, then your championship hopes were pretty much over. That was my assessment. I know that you wouldn't have been mathematically eliminated, but it would have been really difficult and challenging. And you went out and won the race, and your competition went out early. You've reinserted yourself into the championship situation. But how were you looking at this race? Was that the assessment that you guys had to step up and had to have a good one or else?
It wasn't or else, but we had to. I mean, we were running out of time. And it's funny, I actually heard my teammate Beckman mention it in one of his pre-race quotes about how many rounds were left. And whenever we start a countdown, it always makes the hair on my neck stand up. I mean, you go, okay, we've got four races left, right, in a countdown, and we're wherever we are in points. And then somebody will go, well, you got 20 rounds left. And then you're like, oh, my God, it doesn't sound like it. Now it makes it sound worse, you know, if you're behind.
Right.
Or if you're ahead, it can make it sound like more pressure. So anyway, long story short, you're just kind of going, we need a good weekend. And when we won the Indy race, Indy 3, we'll call it, we were lucky that we won the race, but also everybody in front of us went out early. We took care of it, some of it on our own, but a lot of the people in front of us in points had gone out. We made a big jump in points, and that's what you have to do. But you don't want to wish, because listen, three of those cars are my teammates. So you don't want to wish bad on anybody, but you also, Sunday morning, yeah, we're teammates, but we're fighting for a championship. So with that being said, we just needed a good week. We all knew it. Every press, I joked with Elon Warner. I said, look at every PR person's press release going into Gainesville. We need a good weekend. We need a bounce back. Everybody has the same quotes, and you can almost slap it on anybody. We just need a bounce back weekend to get back in the points. And so it was the truth. And so we got part of it. We got a pretty good chunk of it. And Vegas, or wherever our last race of the season might be, is going to be it's going to be points and a half. So it's going to be like Pomona World Finals.
So, okay, see,
that being said,
that's news to me. I was unsure of that. That's news to me. You're confirming that?
So the only know that because you guys, when Brian Lodes did the big ta-da, here's the final NHRA last five races of the season after Indy, and it was NHRA.com, I texted him during that. He was on the Facebook page, and I said, hey, is Vegas now going to be points and a half like Pomona was? And he checked. And said, yep, sure is.
Wow.
So I didn't know until I asked. So that sweetens it up a little bit. So that could open it up, you know, and you could be rolling in there not as good as you want to be, but still have a pretty good chance.
That's great to know and to think about. And, you know, in that, so the rumor mill, which you don't confirm, nobody confirms, nobody knows, but the Vegas race is scheduled to happen. That's the plan. But if something were to happen, to make sure that it didn't happen or was going to happen without fans or something, there has to be a backup plan being readied, and that's what's happening now. The backup plan is being readied, and one of the places that is being discussed is Gainesville, and that would be interesting since you just won there, and it'll also be warmer than a lot of the other places that are chosen. Like, silly me, why can't we just do Indy? And all the Indy types are like, you're a moron, man. It's going to be freezing cold there. And I'm like, oh, I don't normally think about
it. Could be snowing.
It could be snowing. I don't normally think about that. So there's a lot of stuff kind of being bantered about. That would be interesting. But to know the points and a half deal, that's going to be exciting. We've got some people out there weighing in on social. Like Mark says, congratulations on the Gators win. See you at Gateway Worldwide Technology Race. Get another Wally. So you got people fired up to watch your race. Let's talk about the round by round, which I think that, yes, you qualified well. You got down the first time, but that first round run against John Smith, against Bodie and Paul Smith, Florida legends also, they kept you honest. They were 4.024, left 0.89 from the number 13 slot. They went down the track. You guys uncorked a 99.9 and won the race, but it doesn't happen if you don't get around that round. And that was a pretty big deal because they were strong.
Yeah, you never, ever... That's not a first round. That's not any round I want to race. Paul Smith, ever. My brother John's driven for him many times. In fact, we were in a final round in Dallas together when he drove one of Paul Smith's cars. that car is going to go down the track and it's going to run pretty good. We saw the incrementals. It's also got a 5-disc in it. We saw the incrementals on Q1 and it was running pretty good. I mean, he would have been top 3 or 4 run. So can't take them lightly, but you also don't want to beat yourself. And that's Ron Tobler. He races the track, but more than anything, he races the situation that we're in. Do we need to go low ET? Probably not, but we're going to have to run pretty good. I've got to not be late and I've got to be on my game because those guys, that car can jump up and beat you on a hole shot, you know? So everything's got to come together. And that was a big round. That was huge. Cause like you said, we could have been that upset.
And then that's, you know, the whole season. It's amazing how this sport, like, hangs on these moments. And you were able to step up to set up a second-round matchup against Alexis. And just, like, things getting better. It is my understanding that the track was, you know, being seasoned because it had been so long since you guys had run down the racetrack, really a year and a half, if you add the additional 6 months. So the more shots you got, the better things were. Talk a little bit about preparing for the run against Alexis. She goes 4.01, but you're 3.96 with an 8 at 3.25. Big speed, both runs.
Well, we wanted to get lane choice from first round, and we did get that. Not by a lot, but we got it. And so that was big. But again, now you're racing Dale Worsham, and we know what he can do. Alexis is great in the seat. So it's another round where, okay, don't beat yourself, but don't throw up on yourself, but also you're going to have to run pretty good. So same thing. Tobler's doing his thing. He's got his mentality. I'm doing my thing in the seat. You got to cut a good light and just, you know, it was just another status quo. Like, don't look past that. Let's see what we got going on. We knew that Hagen had won. He had a bye run. So we just knew we needed to run good and just get past that round. And so there was another just solid, good run. You know, that team's going to come. They're coming. In fact, I talked to Dale. They're testing right now somewhere, Tulsa or somewhere. So I look for that team to start flying here pretty quick.
Very interesting. Now, here's the run, obviously, I think everybody wants to talk about, because Hagen was pretty much the performance standard of the weekend, the number one qualifier, he and Dickey. And I know the shortened qualifying maybe makes that seem more intense because they, you know, they nailed it. But I was very interested to see what would happen with Ron Tobler. We know that they're great friends. They know that they're a DSR teammate, but you were going to have to step up. And so, like, what's capable? What are they capable? Were they running as quick as they could run, or do they have more in the tank? What's going to happen? How are they going to handle Hagen and Venables? And you guys uncorked that 89 and just went out there and took it. And I think, I don't want to say it surprised a lot of people, but it was a statement. It was a big statement that we can do this when we want. Talk about preparing that for that run.
Well, again, and I've said it before, my locker room in my area, you've been up there, is the same as the war room or the lounge where Ron Tobler and Dustin do their tuning and all their stuff up there. So I sit behind them. I listen. I answer questions if they have anything. But more often than not, I just watch their banter and what they're going off of. And when he mentions a run and a graph, I know enough about working on them in the past and enough about these cars that I can see what they're talking about. And so following him, I knew that he, obviously we had to step it up. Q2 on Saturday, we kind of aborted the run in a strange way, but we found something pretty strange with the car, which it would have taken a long time to figure out why it did what it did. And it was a one in a million type of thing that could have happened anytime. But we lost that run, and that was a run he was going to step on pretty good to try to run a mid-90, which in the long run, Hagen went 91 to get low ET from Wilkerson, but it would have showed us a lot. So really, we knew, and him and Dickie go way back. It's like him and Jimmy Prock, right? We knew we had to step up, but to hear how he was going about it with the heat and especially the humidity, there was a lot of room for it. So Dustin and him were really talking about stepping on the car here and there, clutch-wise, flows as far as the clutch applying, motor and tuning the thing up. We really felt like it was really soft this whole time, and we had to do it. It was a time to do it. We knew that they were going to run 91 or maybe even 90 flat. That's what Dickie was going to try to do. And so we went up there and tried to run about that or a little better. And I think Tobler was a little bit surprised it went 89. But I stepped off the gas, and when I stepped off, it kaboomed. So didn't hurt itself on the run. It's just, But I knew it was on a good run, and I could hear Hagen early, and then he kind of dropped back. And, you know, that type of race with that type of car, you're every once in a while, you're listening to see if they're going to be out your window, and he wasn't. So I knew it was on a pretty good run.
You thundered down there, 329.99, top speed of the meet. That was just insane. So a huge victory, but then a huge explosion. I've seen some of the photos out there. I think Mark Rabilis caught it. You were engulfed by fire and flame. And, you know, in real time, it must have happened. But the photos I've seen, you know, what is that like? You're stepping off the throttle. There's got to be a feeling of like, you know, all right, like go through the normal slow it down mode. And then you're in the middle of a ball of fire. You can't see. And I was on Brian Lohn's, I mentioned International Podcast Day. I was on the NHRA Insider podcast. And we're both marveling at, like, how you handled that, how you handled the situation, brought it to a stop, didn't hit anything, didn't hit anybody, saved the car for the most part from additional damage, all on instinct, couldn't even see. So tell us about it. What was it like?
Well, we didn't have lane choice, obviously, going on that run. So that was really the first time I'd gone down the left lane. You know, that explosion was as big as some of the big, big ones that we've had in the past. But now DSR and our fab shop, we've came up with a really cool thing. And the fans have probably seen those flaps that open up. It relieves a lot of the pressure. And that, for sure, a few years ago, would have had that body off and who knows where. Grandstands, I mean, pieces would have gone everywhere. It was a big, big concussion. And I knew it when I stepped. I mean, it was big to the point where it lifted the firewall and moved things around in the car. And it was a big flash initially, enough that it singed me pretty good, and then it was still burning down there. But the thing that really kind of got me was I was carrying a lot of speed, and in my head I'm like, okay, I thought I saw the wind light as I went by on the guardrail, but I wasn't quite sure, but I was pretty sure I saw it flash by. And while that was going on, I couldn't see in front of me, but I was carrying a lot of speed. So in my peripheral, I'm watching the wall on the left, I'm watching the right to make sure Hagen's not over there, knowing and hoping that both his chutes hit, which would have took him right back. I figured I had one chute gone, which it was that case, because it wasn't quite going like I had no chutes. And then I'm like, oh boy, the fire's not going out. I had my hands full. And as I reached over and just gave it a little input to the wheel, the car just felt like it was on ice. I'm like, okay, now I'm in oil. This is not going to be a good thing either. And as soon as I touched the brake just to check it, nothing. So that tells me I'm in oil. So now I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I'm on fire. I can't see out the front. And my hands were hot. And so knowing where Safety Safari was, I wasn't trying to go through the gate. I would not try to do that. I heard a couple fans say, oh, you tried to go through the gate. I wasn't. It started going left and right. And all I'm thinking in my head was, okay, pretty sure we've got the wind light. We're going in the final round. Do not wreck this car. We do have a spare car and all that, but I'm just thinking in my head, please, we just made whatever run it was a great run. Don't ruin the day by not making the final or making more work for the guys. So it just started sashaying, and then I thought I saw the Safety Safari out the right window, and so I just pulled the brake, and knowing I was in oil, put it into a slide. That could have gone a lot of different ways.
Yes.
Because as it started sliding, I knew Hagen was – he's a great driver. Look, I don't have to worry about him, and that's the cool thing. Even if he had one chute, I'm sure he would have saw what was going on, and he would have gone around me. But I went into a slide, and it slid pretty easy, but as it started to come near the end of the slide, a little chirp, 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 chirp. I'm thinking, oh my God, it's going to catch and just flop me over on my side. Then I'm going to look like a dummy. But I just wanted to get close to the Safety Safari, which I could see that they were opening the gate as I was sliding, and the truck was right there. In fact, I got out quick because I was hot and slid off the car, and they were already pulled up on my car. So they were right there. So that all worked out, thank God. And then Anthony, who drives our car back, he does our bottom end. You know, I just said, check the car steering on our way back, you know, after I did the interviews and stuff, to let Tober know, hey, the chassis is okay. Let's just put a body on it. But he had already pulled the spare car out. So they were already doing that because we, unbeknownst to us, only had 50 minutes or 53 minutes to get back up to the final and meet Wilkerson. So it was just a lot of crazy stuff going on at once. And you never have time. Look, I could have made a lot of bad decisions in that little amount of time. And you can never second guess yourself because we don't have that chance. You know, I've joked before, you can't mess up a turn like a NASCAR and go, okay, I'll make a better lap next time. We don't have that luxury. You've got to make a decision. You got to live with it, whatever it is. So it all worked out. I mean, did it was it exactly my plan? It looked like it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I got a lot of compliments, but like I told Amanda down there in the interview, I said, hey, that was cooler than I expected it to be. I was just trying to get it stopped and get near and get out.
Yeah, but you say that, but that's the programming of the driver. Like, you just laid out all these thoughts and like rationalizing with yourself, and that whole conversation happened in 3 seconds or something, maybe less, for you to figure out and look at this and think about Hagen and what's going on and don't wreck the car and, man, that was a good run. Like, all of those things happened in just seconds. And that's the instincts of a great driver. And now you're going to the final round. And I talked to Chris Afflerbach, and he said that, you know, like, all the DSR team comes over to help. And that's a great thing, but also puts everybody in a different situation now, because you're used to being by yourself. And now you've got all these new bodies in there trying to help, trying to be helpful, being on the scene. And so it was a difficult challenge getting ready for the final. And of course, you got Wilk in the final, who is running real well. You know, lay it on us.
Well, I mean, for fans that watch, and yeah, when you see the TV and you see all those DSR guys, Infinite Hero, Make-A-Wish, Beckman's guy, or Hagen's guys. Yeah, a lot of bodies, that means a lot of help, but sometimes that can be worse because you're used to doing what you do. And then somebody else comes in and it almost too many cooks in the kitchen. It can be that way, but it wasn't. I mean, right away, JC, Ron Tober's old assistant crew chief, who was Tommy Johnson's crew chief, he's worked with Tober for years. So he had already pulled the tag off the pump, up the spare car, brought it up. He knew exactly what Tober was thinking. He knew what he needed. He needed to know what that pump was, what was on the car, what head gaskets maybe were there, what cylinder heads to put on, what block was in it. He brought all that before Tober even sat down on the computer. So that was a huge help. Dickie Venables was over there right away. So it was a lot of help. Crew guys, you know, I got in to pack my chute, and there were 5 or 6 guys putting the wheelie bar off the old car on the new one. It was cool to see all these guys helping, and it flowed really nice. There's no way in the world we would have made it without them. Wilkerson was dragging his feet. We had the same situation. Yeah, there's rain coming. NHRA's telling you to get up there, but Wilkerson wasn't going to go up there without us unless he was threatened. And we did the same thing with him. I forget when it was, last year, year before. You need a little extra time. We're going to slow down. We're going to wait.
Atlanta.
We're not going up there without you.
Maybe Atlanta last year.
Maybe that's a bad thing to NHRA, but it's just, you know, it's just something we all do. So we didn't need the extra time. We got up there and Wilkerson just pulled up. We came around the corner and we both said hi, shook hands, and got suited up. But it was a great, great in-between rounds thing to watch all these DSR guys. And on top of it, we got the streak. I mean, it was a streak of funny car wins that was needed to be alive. And Don Schumacher wasn't at the track. I know he's at home watching. So a lot of pressure.
I can imagine, but a huge victory. And Allison sent us some photographs to enjoy that, you know, look at you fired up, little on track action. That was good stuff. But this is one that I was there for, the at the trailer winner circle photo. Seeing this is organized chaos, right? Like, social distance, but in
Tober
the pit.
In his crunk cup.
Yes, the crunk cup and the flip flops on his birthday. Yep. On his birthday.
On his birthday.
He was emotional.
Awesome.
On the starting line, he was more emotional than I have seen him. I've been fortunate to see quite a few of his victories. Normally, he plays it really cool. The old, you know, act like you've been there. Yeah, he was emotional. He was very happy and satisfied with this win. At least that was the outward appearance on his birthday, his 70th win, 66th of your career. You know, tell me a little bit about that. Was it the birthday thing? Is it the, you know, multiple wins in the COVID season kind of thing, putting yourselves back into the championship fight kind of thing? But there was definitely extra emotion. It was obvious.
It was all what you just said. I mean, it was getting back in the points, I think, emotionally. Yeah, the birthday thing was cool. I mean, I signed the trophy to him and gave it to him. It's a lot of emotion was flowing because, you know, the streak, I think, was the biggest part. Don not being there, and Tober is close with Don, and we knew how important that was. You know, we have great celebrations. You've been there for some of them, the pit area after the winter circle's over. And Tober's fun to work with. He's fun to race with, but he is absolutely one of the funnest to celebrate with. And his new kick is the new Snoop Dogg 19 Crimes red wine.
Oh.
It's like $7.99 at the local store. which I just went and bought some, as a matter of fact, because I'm taking some to St. Louis and putting in the trailer just to have it in there. But that's his new thing. You know, everybody knows he's into Snoop Dogg and the West Coast and the hip hop and all that. So I think the emotions were all that put together, having JC and Venables and all those teams over there, and then to go up and throw down that run with a car that we had as a backup. He was so proud, and I bragged about it, but he's so proud to have that car that ready that we pull it out. And I know the situation. We ran it 9 under fire, checked it out, made sure it was okay, and then put it away. And it's been sitting up there. It was up there when the trailer caught fire before Pomona. And when they pulled it out, all my parachute stuff was all rusted from the fire. So it was just an emotional thing for him to put that stuff together on the car, make a call, send it to the starting line, and have it almost repeat to a totally different car what it would have done from the run before. So, and it was hot and humid. So, I mean, just throw all that stuff on it. And yeah, it was tears afterwards, tears of joy, but it was emotional.
Amazing, amazing stuff. So now you are just, 83 points behind the lead. Tommy's 57, Hagen is 4, and Jack Beckman leads. You've already really laid it out there that this streak of Don Schumacher racing funny cars is important to the Don, and it's amazing. It's unusual, so you guys don't want to be the one to drop the ball like when you get to the final round. I get that. It has been pretty insane to watch, but in the end, every round matters now, and you're headed to St. Louis. So what is the plan? 2 qualifying sessions, another great challenge.
Yo, it's going to be fast. Fans, you better tune into this race. We're going from conditions we saw last weekend to low 60 degrees both Saturday and Sunday. And that track we know is a great track as it is. So there's either going to be a lot of shake in the tires because you've got to pour everything at this racetrack, but we're going to see track records, I'm sure, fall. So it'll be a change of pace. We haven't seen conditions like this since we came back from COVID. In fact, maybe all year long, even going back to the Winter Nationals, I don't think we saw conditions this good. And I used to worry a little bit when it got that cold because we're more hot weathered and consistently running car. We never saw really big throwdown numbers from Tobler. It was more big picture, Wally on Sunday,
sure,
type of, you know, outlook. But look, Redding last year, we went 339. We went 2 380, low 380 runs, ETs, in good conditions on a great Maple Grove racetrack. And we've done it since then quite a bit in conditioned or cool. So now that excites me because now I know what Tober, his mentality is when we go to those type of conditions. So you're going to see, you know, Jimmy Prock and Hyatt unfortunately aren't out here because it would be fun to watch what they do. But we're obviously Dickie, we know JC, we know Wilkerson. I mean, just you go down the list, so many cars. And then we have these other cars that can step up anytime in these conditions. It's a level playing field a lot of times for cool conditions. So we're going to see records. We're going to be seeing some fast runs in all categories, but such adverse conditions from what we just came from.
I am excited. I will not be at this one. I'm hoping to be at maybe another one before the end. Who knows? But it's, you know, it's COVID. It's 2020, whatever. We're drag racing, and we got another one in the books. Ron, thank you so much. Congratulations. 66 career wins, 70 for Tobler. Pretty amazing. And, hey, while we're talking about it, you're in the face covering business now. Tell me a little bit about that. We got Matt Smith up next, but you decided to go in a different direction with these, like, retro breather funny car mask, and from what I understand, they're very, very popular.
Yeah, I just, you know, Indy 2, I was going from the hotel to track, and I came up with an idea. I was like, how cool would it be to have, like, my old school, like my dad had, the old Tom the Mongoose McEwen out, they all wore the face breather looking mask. So I called up Greg, who owns Racer Masks, and he do yours, right?
I don't know. I don't know. Randy Lynn from Nitrofish has them done, so.
Well, anyway, so I had him get on, and he started designing, and I was in the staging lanes, and he's sending me back artwork, and he actually took a real picture of one and then had it put on this mask. So when they finally showed up, which was after Indy 3, after our win, we were blown away at how good. They're single layer. They are, and the best thing about it is most of these masks that these drivers are wearing at the track are double layer, and you can't understand our interviews.
Right.
So this single layer, if you go back to my final round, I wore it, and you can understand it, which is a big deal. So anyway, long story short, petrolhead.com, Petrolhead Apparel, they've got them. It's a cool thing. It's just, it was a passion. I only wanted to make 100 of them, give them to friends and family and Ace and Coletta and just guys I admire. And they put them up on the website, and we've sold 1,100 of them.
Wow.
So, I think I ordered the last run. I'm not going to make any more after that, but they're cool. Kids love them. We got kid sizes, and it's a lot of fun.
Would you be up for doing a mask swap? WFO.
Yeah.
There it is.
Absolutely.
Like jerseys at the end of the game, right? You swap the jerseys.
Yeah.
See,
I like it.
The mask thing is, it's, you know, it is what it is. It's just one of those COVID things we'll remember forever.
Look, and I listen, you live in Florida, I'm in California, and where I live, unfortunately, I think masks are going to be required much longer probably than anywhere in the country. So it is what it is.
It is.
Holidays are coming up, right? You can get your WFO mask.
Yes.
And your Petro Head, your Ron Caps breather mask for Christmas. Order early.
And it's crazy.
WFO.com.
And how about
Petro Head apparel?
And how about seeing somebody with one of your masks is pretty crazy, right? Like, I don't have that experience as much as you do. Sure, you go into the grocery store, you see someone with a Ron Capps shirt. It's like, whoa, that's cool. But seeing
the coolest
people
thing is our buddies at the NASCAR track. I got a buddy work for Dale Earnhardt Jr. He's on Ryan Newman's car, and he sent a photo of himself on pit road wearing it. And he said all the guys at NASCAR in the garages are asking about him. So it's cool. It's just something different, but I love it.
Love it. Ron, great job. Good luck this weekend. Thanks for coming on the show. And who knows, maybe we'll have you back next week. Good luck.
Hope so, Joe. Thanks, man.
All right. There he goes. Ron Capps with us here on WFO Radio. Really like it. And yes, the face covering thing, it's like obviously we would prefer to not wear them. But now you got all these cool drag racing collectibles. And he mentioned WFOradio.com. You can get ours and Petrol Head for his. And, you know, the apparel people, like, we want everybody to have cool gear. That's what it is. So go to WFOradio.com and get yours. And Ron, like, I love the fact that he's involved in the designing of it. And stick around after the show. I will tell you how to get a, you know, free WFO Radio stickers. But right now it's time for our Pro Stock Motorcycle winner. He's been on there a little bit. He's out there somewhere. Mr. Matt Smith. What's up, Matt? Where are you?
How you doing, Joe? If it gets too loud, I'll go step inside. But me and my crew guy and Scott Speed, my brother-in-law, we come down here to the GoProplex and race little go-karts this afternoon.
Go-kart racing. All right. So who's on the roster? I like this. You mentioned it's you, your crew, Scott Speed, who I hear he's pretty good at turning left and right from what I recall. Who else?
He's pretty good. There's a bunch of people out here. You wouldn't believe. This is where I know you watch Haley Deegan. She comes out here a lot, but Kevin Harvick is out here right now with his son, teaching him how to ride a go-kart out here. So been watching him run, and it's pretty neat.
That is pretty neat. That is very cool. And while we're talking go-karting, you have gotten the rep. I've never seen it. But as the quickest guy in Pro Stock Motorcycle, each year at – oh, wait a second. It's all connecting. Each year at Worldwide Technology Raceway, there's usually go-kart racing in the infield of the circle track. The Pro Stock Motorcycle teams go there and battle. Everybody says you're the quickest guy, and now we know why, Matt, because you're testing. You're testing in advance.
Yeah, we're testing. You know, Nate rode home. That's my crew guy. He's the one that works on my bike. So instead of going home for one day or 2 days, he come on home with us, and luckily the rain quit running today, and there you go. There's a picture of us. He come with us up here, and I told him, I said, look, I said, we get everything done in the shop, we'll go run this evening and before St. Louis, because we can just a little playtime.
That is awesome. Well, and you deserve it because you had a huge weekend. Like, that was a dominating performance in Pro Stock Motorcycle. The bike had a huge performance advantage on the field. You come in after helping Scotty Polachek get his first win, and it happened to be at the U.S. Nationals, and sweeping both bikes at the Mickey Thompson Pro Bike Battle. Matt Smith Racing is really on a high note right now. You guys are having a good run.
Yeah, we have a real good run right now going on, and, you know, Scotty was number one qualifier at the U.S. Nationals, won the race. I won the shootout. Andrew was number one qualifier on Friday, you know, just didn't parlay that into Saturday's running like we needed to. But, I went to Gainesville and qualified number one and won the race. So our goal coming in this weekend, coming up to St. Louis in a couple of days, is we want to get Angie in the 200-mile-an-hour club and become the first female to go 200.
I like that. And a couple of weeks ago, I misspoke on the show, and I was under the impression that there were four spots in the Mickey Thompson in the Denso 200-mile-per-hour club. And since then, and you know, Lisa has fed me new information that there's eight spots and they get something and it's a notoriety, and apparently it was updated halfway through. But the bottom line is, I knew it was significant when Angie was like, what? She wants in that thing badly, and she is going to do it. and talk about that plan. Like, her bike has been quick. It's just a matter of the right conditions.
Yeah, it's just the right conditions. You know, at Indy, at the U.S. Nationals, she went 199.56. You know, just missed it a little bit there. But I really think with St. Louis coming up and the temperatures they're saying it's going to be, I mean, this is going to be a fast race. Just like Ron said, I mean, if the fans don't come out for this race, you know, they're crazy, because there's going to be records broke everywhere in every category this weekend coming up. And if we can get a hold of the track, I predict low 70s, maybe even a high 60 at 202 maybe out there.
Wow. Well, so if you can run what you ran in Gainesville, an 82.8 in the second round was like warp speed, because you're burning water. It was so humid, people can't possibly understand how uncomfortable and terrible it was out there. To go from that to what we're going to see this weekend, what do you do? Your fuel injection, you know, map and everything has got to be totally different. A lot more fuel to it. Tell us.
Yeah, you got to put a lot more fuel, and you know, you take some timing out, because you put timing in to burn the water. That's what helps. And like I try to tell everybody, everybody asks me, how do you run so fast when it's hot like that? And the biggest reason is, I tell everybody, I said, when you have a lot of power, normally when it gets hot, you show what you really have. Everybody can run good in cool weather, but when it gets really hot out there, that's when you see who has the most power out there. And we've said we have good power, and you know, I still believe that MSR has the most power out there right now. I know the Harleys are close, but I mean, I really feel like we have the most power out there right now. And I just don't think the Suzukis have taken advantage of what NHRA, the rules that they gave them last year with the new motor. Only one person built that motor, and that's Chris Bostic.
Right.
I mean, you got so many other Suzukis out there that could have built this motor that makes 27 more horsepower, because that's what Bostic and his engine guy said. It makes 27 more horsepower. I don't know why they didn't do it, but that's for them to concern, and I'm going to do the best I can to turn wind lights on and go fast.
Well, and this year, the COVID year, right? It's like, do you value it like any other year? And I think many years down the road, those championship trophies are all going to blur together. You got a 5 or 6 or however many you end up with. This year's championship trophy is of value, and so maybe they're getting that tune-up ready for next year. Who knows? But you're out there contending. Alan Reinhart and I were talking about your situation in that the brittle nature of the bike seems to have been worked through. You were having some shifting problems. The bike has been quick. It has been fast. You set the record in terms of speed. But there were times where you had some issues. You'd shut it off on the starting line because you didn't want to hurt it. Seems like you've gotten past those. Maybe not entirely, but for a very quick, fast, and powerful bike, you're not having the problems you used to have.
Well, it's like anything. When you push everything to the edge, you're going to find parts failures, and things are going to happen. And we are constantly pushing everything to the edge. I know some people say, you know, hey, we better slow down a little bit, or they're going to put weight on us and all that. I just don't live like that. I don't believe in that. I want to push everything to the edge, because my mentality is I want to win races, and I want to make my sponsor look good. And Denso out there right now, I mean, we're trying to make them look the best that we can in this difficult time. And, you know, do everything we can to keep our sponsorship for next year and to win races. And hopefully we can win a championship, because to me, I don't care if it's a COVID year or not. If I have a championship on the table, the only thing that's going to be different is we're going to get paid less money for the championship. That's it.
Right. You're 21 up on Scotty, 28 up on Andrew, 48 up on Angel, 64 up on Eddie. So it's still pretty much wide open. You got to go out there and take care of business on the track and win some races.
Yeah, we got to go, and like I said, if we can do the same thing we did last weekend and collect them qualifying points and you know, go to the finals and, you know, win the race if we can, that's what's going to count, because I'm looking at, we got 3 more races left, and that's what I'm shooting for. If I can be in the lead after Houston, I feel like that we'll wrap this thing up there.
Wow, very, very cool. And your dad wins on the same weekend. That's always cool. I know it's happened before, but you never know when it's going to be the last time, right? Your dad goes out there and gets the job done in E3 Spark Plugs Pro Mod, and you win in Pro Stock Motorcycle, so another Smith & Smith victory.
Yeah, like you said, you don't ever know when it's going to happen again, if it might never ever happen again. But, you know, my dad's retiring every year, so you don't never know when it's going to be for sure, you know, the truth of that. But just proud of, you know, what he's done and what he's accomplished, and, you know, I can never fulfill what he's done in this sport, but I just hope that I can be one of the best motorcycle racers of all time out here.
That, well, and you're showing that and proving it. Give me a little insight into the final round as you got ready for the Harleys. You know what I've noticed? It's like they have kind of a relationship with KB Racing over all those many years, and you kind of have a relationship with Elite Motorsports, and it's just the rivalries. They go beyond like pro stock, right? Like we've got these very defined working relationships that happen, and to go up against the Harley Davidson team in the final round and be victorious, that had to be pretty satisfying.
Yeah, Harley's, I think since they started their program, they've had an alliance with the KB team and Summit and Greg and all of them. You know, we got on board with Elite about 3 years ago, and, you know, Elite's really helped us out. You know, it was Nick Perry at Elite at first that helped us and got some stuff going, but he's not there no more to lead. But we still are doing a lot with Kyle and Richard Freeman and all that. And like I said, we couldn't be running as fast as we are right now without them. So hats off to them. But, you know, we do everything in-house. The only thing they kind of do for us is hone our cylinders because they have one of them diamond CNC hones. And that's pretty critical on our program.
Well, there you go. And a question that maybe not everybody knows, but you are also a car owner this past weekend. What has that been like campaigning a super comp car for Sadie Glenn, who is one of the more popular people out there and is, you know, getting better and better as she's getting reps in super comp? I hear you're kind of a tough team owner, though. What's it like?
No, I think she pushed herself too hard. I mean, we call her Gas Cap because she left the gas cap off one time during the run, and all the fuel come out of the car and all that stuff. And she got back from the run and she's like, "The daggone track is really slick out there. It's total shit like that." I'm like, "Yeah, you left the gas cap off and you ran all over your fuel." So, anyway, she's doing a good job. She's learning and getting better every time she goes out. But she's had some tough luck on Sunday. She drew that, or Saturday, I should say. She drew that person that had a 10 package, you know, on her first round.
So, yeah.
All in all, you know, she's doing a good job. And, you know, it's fun to watch her ride. And, you know, I want to do it one time a year, and I just didn't get to do it this year with the coach. But
uh-oh. I guess he got a phone call. We hear you now. Now you're back. Well, I think it's great. It's a lot of fun to have one of our friends who is also racing Super Comp. All right, talk about Scott Speed and go-karts and you and go-karts. Like, can you hang with this guy, Formula One driver? Can you hang with Scott Speed and go-karts?
I lost it, Joe. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hang?
I can't hear you.
You can't hear me. He's lost. Oh, well, anyway, all right.
I don't know what happened.
No, we'll wait. Well, let me kick you out and reconnect, and I got to get that question in. Can he hang with Scott Speed? That is the question. Matt Smith, or he may just go. We'll see if he gets back in. But, yeah, when you get a phone call on this deal, kind of throws a monkey wrench into the whole thing. Is that Scott Speed there? I don't think so. You know what's funny is the part of that whole Red Bull driver search, I was a big fan of Scott Speed. First United States, American Formula One driver in a long time, and he gets the job done. And let's see. All right, Matt, can you hear me now? Are you back?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah. I don't know what happened. I couldn't hear you, but I could see you talking.
Don't worry about it. It's amazing how we can get you back that rapidly. You did the right thing. What I asked was if you can hang with Scott Speed on the go-kart track. He's a Formula One driver, and can a pro stock motorcycle racer hang tough with him?
No, that's probably as good as I am in the go-karts against all these other guys because I learned stuff from him on this. But he just wore me out, you know, on here. He went a 62 something, and I went a 64. So he had a little bit better car than I did. But normally I can be within a half a second of him. But that was pretty embarrassing there.
Well, you know, he has been to the highest level of turning left and right Grand Prix style motorsports, and so you'd think he would have some tricks in the bag. What are you gonna do? I think it's impressive that you're that close.
Yeah, and he knows what carts are fast out here, so he probably told the guy when he went in there and got his helmet, he's like, "Hey, put me in this cart because I know it's good." So that's probably what he did. I'm going to try to get his car for this next race and see what happens.
Exactly. You need the cart swap. You need to – has he expressed any interest in drag racing, you know, being in the family and all, getting him out there to do something, have a little fun?
No, he's not good on two wheels. He's only good on four wheels. if he rides a scooter, you better watch out because he might run over you. But he's pretty awesome on two wheels, that's for sure.
All right, there you go. Matt, thank you very much. Congratulations on your win. Good luck getting Angie into the Denso 200-mile-per-hour club. That's going to be something we're all looking out for. Pro Stock Motorcycle is going to be a battle. Good luck, and have fun at the go-kart track. Thanks for signing on here on WFO.
Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully we can be on again pretty soon.
Yes, that's up to you. You control it. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Later, bud. There goes Matt Smith. So, yeah, Scott Speed takes him out. That makes sense, right? Those guys are good. Yeah, I remember the time I raced Matt Kenseth in go-karts, and I defeated him. And, you know, it's because I had some knowledge that he didn't have. But it all depends on where you are and what you're doing. I love working that into the story. All right, get your comments in the comment section. Final comments here on WFO Radio. We had Ron Capps and we had Matt Smith, and it's been a lot of fun. The schedule for tomorrow, Thursday, final show of the week, because Friday we've got drag racing from Worldwide Technology Raceway. 4 o'clock, we're going to have Steve Torrance. And we're going to talk to Steve-O about winning in front of Garlitz and what that was like, winning with Garlitz. He's got to be super proud, got a lot of good stuff going on in his world right now. So Steve Torrance, and working on Alex Laughlin as well. So Alex, hopefully going to be on the show tomorrow right after Steve Torrance, and it should be great stuff. Now, I do want to mention once again that we have got our WFO Radio face coverings. They're 10 bucks. I always get excited right after the show to go see if somebody bought one on PayPal. You can use a credit card. Just go to WFOradio.com. 10 bucks. It includes shipping, and you get a couple of WFO Radio stickers. I don't know why I feel the need to hold them up just to prove that they exist. WFO Radio stickers. But do that. Have one of those face coverings like Ron says. There's going to be face coverings. There, listen, and this is a sad thing, but face coverings are a part of our lives forever now. You remember back in the day when you would go to the airport and or see a video coming out of Southeast Asia or something like that. You'd see all the masks and you'd be like, oh, man, I can't believe they're having to wear all those masks. And yeah, I guess it makes sense with all the people or whatever thought you thought. I know what I thought. But it seemed like something from far off distant lands. And this is an unfortunate circumstance. But now it's here. This is the way it is. And I really don't think you're ever going to see a large crowd of people without people with masks at any point in the future now. But we, America, have done our thing with them. Okay. And we have turned them into personal promotion and drag racing nostalgia. And people are bedazzling them and doing their own thing and personalizing it and making it not for a medical device, but a statement. That's all we can do. Take whatever crummy situation and make it our own and Americanize it. And that's what we're doing with our WFO Radio face covering. So get yourself one on WFOradio.com. Get one of Ron's. You can't have too many of these things sitting around, etc. But if you just want some free stickers, I'll do that too. Castello Media/WFO stickers, P.O. Box 848-353, Pembroke Pines, Florida, 33084. You have to fill out the envelope, the one to your own address, self-addressed stamped envelope. So I'm not paying postage, but I'm not doing any busy work. It's not even the postage. It's the busy work. I stuff some stickers in there and send them out, and you will get some WFO stickers. Also want to remind you about our Patreon show. It's been going really good, although they have gotten no new unique contact this week. Maybe they will right after the show. Maybe I'll do a secret after show for the Patreons right now and shout out to all the people there. Also want to remind everybody we're going to be doing the eBay of this Lagana Strong steel tree that was made by one of our listeners, Jeff, out there in Bandimere area. And we're going to be putting that up. I'm promoting it. So you guys can all get ready to get in on this auction, which all of which, 100% of everything. This is Jeff. He's like, I want to do something. And I'm really not equipped to do these kind of things. But we're going to figure out how to do it, to auction this thing off to one lucky person so that all the money will be donated to the fund for Dominic Lagana. Going to be great stuff. All right, let's see. And our great sponsors, of course. Everybody's great. Talking about Total Seal Piston Rings and Marvin Rodak. Talking about Total Seal Piston Rings and Marvin Rodak and samtech.edu. I'll get it right eventually. Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School. And Nitro Fish. where you can use the promo code WFO20 to save 20%, which is pretty cool. All right, let's see what everybody else has to say. Final comments here in the WFO. We the people, Joe, love WFO. You know, it's been very nice today to see the Twitter traffic. International Podcast Day is a day where, you know, I guess the podcast community has gotten together to try to increase awareness that podcasts are a great way to listen to content. And you can get WFO on your mobile device, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud. Not everybody can sit and watch a screen. It's just not the way it is. And all the WFOers who are shouting out to Spotify, to Apple Podcasts, trying to get somebody to retweet the show, that is great stuff. Monica says, great show. Thanks for a great break in the day. Yeah, exactly. Just about an hour. Prayers for Brother Dom. So true. You know, the Yankees got it done for Dom last night. I don't want to make this World Series all about the Yankees need to win World Series number 28. But that's the thing that Dominic and I were constantly texting about the Yankees. And the Yankees got the job done last night. I couldn't help but think, like, I hope Dom is able to enjoy, see what's going on. And hopefully the Yankees will win it for him. Hey, Joe, ever thought about getting in something yourself? Like a nostalgia funny car? The answer, Rob, is I currently have my Super Comp and Super Gas license. I have an open wheel license. I have my Super Gas license. And my best personal elapsed time is a 798. And so the answer is I would love the opportunity to drive something. And I feel like I have the talent and presence in the cockpit to do it. But there are so many people that have that in this sport. So it would not be my choice. It would be someone else's choice to say, hey, Costello, we want to put you in our car and we want to take advantage of your great character and vast media empire to shine some spotlight on us and on our abilities. And, you know, you could try to be the famous drag racer that you're always trying to help other people become. Yeah, I would do that. Now, I don't think people are ready for the kind of stuff that I would bring to the table, though. I think I would be a very overt smack talker. I would be challenging people. They might not like it. As far as driving, you don't just jump in a nostalgia funny car. And that's the thing. Like, I've gone high sevens in a sportsman dragster. Did I feel comfortable or did I feel afraid? I felt comfortable. But it's all about who your trainer is, like who brings you along. And I feel like I could come along pretty quickly, have access to some great minds, like guys like Ron Capps. You know, are you afraid of the car? That's the question. And I don't think I would be. But really, you don't know until you're in that situation. It would be nerve-wracking, but it would be a lot of fun. So, yes, Rob, if you want to hook me up with a ride, go ahead and do it. I'll be ready. I'll be ready to do it. And I've had some opportunities to run some bracket cars. My problem is that I have a beautiful family car that is sitting in the garage that needs to be worked on that I haven't had the time nor the ability to work on it. Now, it's just a 10-second little bracket car. But I don't need to go fast. I have fun just being at the track. It's just a lot of work. And as my dad's gotten a little older and I've gotten a little older and we have to focus on things other than playing, you know, like, it's been very challenging. But that's why getting hooked up with the right organization who wants to take advantage of my relative lightweight, small stature, my cat-like reflexes, and, you know, slick ability with the microphone to generate some attention for a big sponsor. All right, is this too much? Am I over the top with this? You asked the question. It's not a staged question. Let's see. Daryl, there's a seat for Joe, we pray. You know what? Whatever. It will be interesting. But like Reinhardt said the other day, we got a pretty good gig already. All right, and there you go. That's going to do it for this edition of WFO Radio. I do want to send a shout out to everybody who listens to The Ignition Show. Speaking of podcasts, The Ignition Show getting a lot of love. It's just, it's a sports podcast. It's a talk radio podcast. It's a whatever is current podcast. It's everything but politics podcast. Everything. Because there's got to be a politics free zone. Who knows, someday. Let's see. Jeff, who made the tree. Speaking of licenses, how could someone like me get my pro stock license? Just the license, not compete, where to start? Get cooked up with a team that's got a car and pay for it. Bring money to the table. The same reason I don't have mine. You know, it costs money to get these cars out there. But that whole exercise that I just did in fun, trying to negotiate a ride for myself, that's it. You got to hook up with a pro stock team. You got to find some money to get them out on their racetrack, and they will maybe help you get your license. That's the challenge. That's why I renew my Super Comp license every year, because at one point I had a dragster and I got my license. And I'm not losing that thing. I'm keeping it forever, just in case. So maybe I'll be like Garlitz. Monica loves the Ignition Show. Daryl says potential sponsors want Joe to go fast. Don't listen to him. Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't mind going fast. I'd like to try it. Years ago, I thought about, like, pro stock is, like, the right kind of fast. What Ron does, if you look at that photo by Rabilis, fire just all over him. They look normal. They're not normal. They're different. They're different kind of people. Congratulations to Ron Tobler. 70 wins. Pretty amazing. Thank you to all you WFO radio listeners out there. We really appreciate you. Tomorrow, Thursday, 4 p.m., Steve Torrance. Going to be great. We'll see you then. WFO.
WFO!
This is WFO Radio.
I love WFO Radio.
Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.
We're talking gourmet coffee. We're talking hot sauces. We're talking spice rubs. We're talking everything good at RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Marvin Rodak, been doing it since the 70s. Figured out that life is better with great coffee. And oh, he's so right. 817-924-6821. Call Marvin. He'll roast up some coffee fresh for you. Throw in some hot sauce, some spice rub, and you will be loving it. Hit him up, RodaxCoffeeAndGrills.com. Attention adrenaline junkies, Frank Hawley's Dragster Adventure is calling you. Rides available for the 2020 season. Go to frankhawley.com. They're coming to a track near you. It makes a great gift, whether it be licensing for Super Comp, Super Gas, all the way up to Top Alcohol. They can do it. But if you're a drag racing fan, and you've always imagined what it might be like to drive a dragster, to accelerate 0 to 60 in 3 seconds, and run 10s in the quarter mile, give them a call. 866-480-7223, frankhawley.com, the Dragster Adventure, and tell them you heard it on WFO.
Start your education at full speed with the School of Automotive Machinists and Technology. Accelerate your career as a high-performance engine builder with classroom instruction and practical hands-on experience in the lab, on the dyno, and at the track. In addition to the block, head, and CNC programs, SAM now offers motorsport, EFI tuning, and an Associates of Applied Science degree. And SAM is a military-friendly school, approved to train veterans and other eligible persons under the GI Bill. Start your education at full speed. Go to samtech.edu today.
Hey, engine builders, Total Seal Piston Rings are the leader in ring seal technology, and they go out of their way to help their customers and will make custom sets for any specific piston you might have. Customer service, top notch. Made in America? Absolutely. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona, and they've got everything it takes to develop the world's best piston rings. Give them a call at 800-874-2753 or go to totalseal.com.
Hey, WFO Universe. Want to hear your favorite interviews before anyone else? I'm talking VIP access. Want to get right to the interviews? Go to patreon.com/WFO radio. Get special VIP content, early access to interviews, and get straight to the interviews on patreon.com/WFO radio. That's patreon.com/WFO radio. Become a Patreon. Become a WFO VIP.
This is WFO Radio.